The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, the lawyer asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Kindly be seated. Last year in August, due to my wife Sandy's brother, Dennis, who looks for all these bargain rates, we were able to take a cruise to Alaska, and it was a wonderful event. This was our first and only cruise, and really nice, except when we were up there, and this is the end of August around Labor Day, one of the tour guides there said, "Watch out for the mosquitoes." And I said, "Mosquitoes in Alaska?" And he said, "Yes. There's mosquitoes there, and they're also big mosquitoes. So they tend to suck up a little bit more blood than our regular North Carolina mosquitoes here." Well, I was curious about that, so I Googled, where aren't mosquitoes in this planet? And there's two places. One you can imagine, Antarctica and Iceland are two places in the world where there's no mosquitoes. But there's a little caveat on one of them. It said that there's a bug, and I can't think of the name, I think it's called a minch, that is related to the mosquito that bites, that's found in Antarctica. But certainly there are no mosquitoes in Antarctica. Well, we know there's no mosquitoes there, but where are good Samaritans? Sometimes, if you take that term literally, really, I don't think any of us are natives of Samaria. And there is really no Samaria now. So technically, there are no good Samaritans around. But we use the term to describe people who go out of their comfort zone to help somebody else. I just saw in the news the other day that there was a woman in a burning car. The car caught on fire, and two guys went ahead and risked the flames to get her out before the whole car was consumed with flames and she would have been dead. There are other people who we may know that are called Good Samaritans because of the acts of bravery and courage that they do. However, if you were a person, a Jewish person at Jesus' time, the term good and Samaritan would not go together. It would be saying like good Hitler or good Osama bin Laden. Somehow those two words would not click together. Because for a Jew, a Samaritan was looked on as that person's enemy or that culture's enemy. Jews and Samaritans did not, by and large, get along. Samaritans were looked at by Jews as being half-breeds because they had intermingled with others, and somehow they were worshiping not on Mount Sinai, but on Mount Gerizim. Jesus tried to break that cultural gap by saying everybody, not only fellow Jews, but Samaritans are our neighbors. There was a little thing that some Jews would say, and that they gleaned it maybe from Scripture, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Jesus is saying basically by this parable that everyone, even if you're a Samaritan, is your neighbor. Which, looking at us, says even the people that don't like you and the people that you don't like are your neighbors. Because God made us all in love, and God made us all his children. Look at the scriptures where Jesus encounters other people, not just the Jews. He had an interesting conversation with a Samaritan woman, and she became one of his greatest evangelists. And remember the 10 lepers that Jesus cured? None of them came back except one who was a Samaritan. Jesus is trying to show the people of his time when he was walking on earth and the people of all times, including us, that God loves us so much that we need to get out of our comfort zone, just like the Samaritan in that parable, to do the right thing, to help people in need, to help people who are hurting. We know the story about the priest. Some people might have excused the priest because perhaps he was on temple duty. And if he were to touch a person who was bleeding, he would be called ritually unclean and couldn't do his temple service. But Jesus is trying to say that the law of love, which he commended the lawyer for saying, is much greater than following ritualistic procedures. And the priest and the lawyer, or the Levite, should have, out of compassion, helped that man. But it was the Samaritan, who was supposed to be a mortal enemy of the Jew, who went out, had compassion for that person, and attended to his needs. Most of us, when we hear that story, we think of Jesus as that person who's the Good Samaritan. He took upon himself our sins, but he also freed us from the power of legalistic laws that keep us from loving God and from loving our neighbor, our fellow man or woman. And he's the one who heals and strengthens us. But a few years ago, I heard a different interpretation of that parable. Jesus is not the Good Samaritan in that story. Jesus is the man left for half dead. Jesus is the one who's suffering and hurting in the midst of that parable and also in the midst of you and me. Jesus is the person who's lost a loved one. He's the person who is sick or homebound or lives by themselves. He's the person who is hurting by some prior hurts and is struggling with them. The person who is struggling to pay up hospital bills from past surgeries is the person who is in need just of a kind word or a note or a visit from a friend. And the Good Samaritan is you and me. We're the people loved by God so much that God says, you need in Jesus, to share that love, to recognize Jesus, my son, in the person around you, especially the person in need or the person who's hurting. We know the devastation that's happening in Louisiana and Mississippi due to Hurricane Barry. We used to have the fund used to be called the Presiding Bishop's Fund for World Relief. I believe it's called Episcopal Relief and Development. I'm sure that the parish office staff and Brian will probably share some things with you about maybe a special collection or an opportunity for us to give not only of our abundance but of our substance to help those poor people there who are devastated or being devastated by yet another flood. That's all well and good, and I would encourage you in your generosity to do that. But folks, we don't have to go to Mississippi. We don't have to go to Louisiana or New Orleans to see people who are suffering or hurting or who need a neighbor, a loving touch, a kind word, some basic help and prayers. We need to be able to open our eyes and look around us and see the people who are in need, who even though they are loved by God, need to have some kind of evidence of God's love in the flesh by you and me reaching out to them and to show them that God does love them because he loves us and he helps us to help each other in each other's needs. So Jesus, today in the gospel and every day, shows us how to love each other. We love God first and foremost, but we love God by loving our neighbor, and that's everybody who's created in God's image and likeness. The Holy Spirit helps us to identify those people that might need a helping hand, might need an extra prayer, might need us to nudge us out of our complacency and move us out a little bit into maybe something uncomfortable, to do something we might not ordinarily do. But with God's love, the grace of the Holy Spirit, we can help that person out and help make his or her day. It's up to us to be alert to the Holy Spirit living and loving in us to show us some opportunities for grace, to share the love of God with other people, and to show them, even the people we don't like or the people that don't like us, what it means to be a loving Christian, a follower and lover of Jesus Christ. So there may not be any mosquitoes in Antarctica, but there certainly are a lot of Good Samaritans or potential Good Samaritans in this congregation. Take heart, listen to God, and know that God's love will, if we really follow God, will lead us into situations that even though they might be a little bit uncomfortable, might make a person's day or make a person's life. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able as we profess our faith. The Nicene Creed begins in the service program on page 4. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sin. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.